It's time for Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. The first hour of Sports Time is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome in to Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you. Johnny Hill producing as always. We're Sports Time. We're with you for the next 3 hours and a ton to get to. It's draft day, only about 4 hours away from the start of the draft. Certainly longer than that until Caleb Williams' name is said as the number one pick. We know how they like to milk, especially that first pick, even though everybody knows what it's going to be. But still plenty of NBA playoffs to talk about, some Tiger news as well today, so a lot to get to. But Brett, how are you this afternoon?
Brian, I'm doing well. Let the draft begin. And you're right, it's going to take a while, even though the whole world knows who's going off the board first. And a lot's going to be asked of him, especially with a $5 billion stadium going up.
Sure.
He's got to be the franchise.
Yeah, and certainly Chicago is thinking that he can be the guy, and it has not even been up for discussion. You know, there have been years where that number one pick has certainly been up for discussion and maybe up for debate, you know, up until a couple days before the draft or so, but this one has been for over a year, we've known who was going to go number one in this draft, and it was going to be Caleb Williams, and it's still Caleb Williams, and I know a lot of people like the pick. There's still a lot of people, though, on the other side that, you know, have their question marks about Caleb Williams and, you know, on field, off field, the whole no agent, the whole, you know, wanting, you know, kind of asking for a lot before he's even a rookie in the NFL. There are a lot of questions, I think, around him, but certainly no doubt going to be the number one pick, the only guy that the Bears brought in for the number one pick interview. So, it's going to be, it's surely going to be him, but you're right. The work starts after that, and we'll see what he can do as a rookie and see if he can be that franchise star for Chicago.
And going into a place that a lot of rookie number one picks didn't have the luxury of going in. I mean, this is not Troy Aikman going in with the Cowboys and some other notable first round picks. He's going into a team that with the right breaks, they could be a playoff team next year.
Sure.
10-7.
Sure, absolutely. And I think, you know, you saw some of the moves they made last year, and I think some of the games they played last year with Justin Fields, and obviously he got injured and missed a lot of games. But, you know, this Chicago Bears team was not awful. You know, they were not terrible. They had some flashes throughout the season. Now, there were other games where they did look like the worst team in the NFL. But I think you're right. I think, you know, you get Caleb Williams in there. He, you know, plays well, and you know, maybe you get another weapon for him with that 9 pick, and yeah, I think you're talking about a fun offense to watch next year, and certainly maybe a team that can sneak into the playoffs.
I was trying to find today a number 13. He's going to wear 13. They'll give him, well, they'll probably give him number 1 tonight for going overall number 1, but he's going to wear 13, and he will sell a lot of jerseys. I think it'll be a very magnetic force in Chicago sports, and we know the history of the quarterback position with the Bears, and they're ready for one. Jay Cutler was good.
Yeah,
he was good.
He was.
He was not great. Jim McMahon was good with a great defense.
Sure.
Billy Wade in the '60s was good with a great defense and a good tight end. And I don't know if that encompassed the Gale Sayers years, but they've had good. They just haven't had great since Sid Luckman. So I was looking today to see kind of maybe the last great number 13 at quarterback for the Bears. There's not one.
Wow.
The 13s with the Bears, the best I could find is Rick Mira at the end after he had bombed out in Seattle.
So 13 is not great. I was listening to something or watching something yesterday, and it was like a reporter from Chicago. And they were talking about Caleb Williams and the excitement, and did they think there was going to be some sort of a flip at the last second? And he goes, "Well, I sure hope not. I've seen multiple people in Chicago already with Caleb Williams
invested
Chicago Bear jersey. So I hope they don't do anything." And he goes, "And it's not going to happen." But so yeah, I mean, Chicago's excited. And they should be. I mean, Caleb Williams certainly has that star aura and has shown that he can be a dominant player at you know every place he's been. And so you know, we know that's going to happen. Then the question comes up, you know, what happens next when it comes to quarterbacks? I think a lot of people think it's going to be Jaden Daniels, the Heisman winner from LSU, and then the question
do,
marks after
we?
That. I do, yeah. But you know, I wouldn't be surprised if anything happens with Brian, how crazy it's been.
I'm embarrassed to say this. And I'm sure they'll pop it up with a graphic immediately. The last time Heisman Trophy winners went 1-2.
Wow.
I don't have it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know someone's been doing that research and they have it.
They've got everything.
Yeah, oh yeah. They'll have that. I'm sure that could be one of our big numbers tomorrow after it's flashed on the
ESPN Stats and Info Office. Yeah. And recently passed, the great Howie Schwab, he started the ESPN Stats and Info department.
Yeah, so I know it's good stuff. They always produce some really good stats and really good numbers. But it's going to be a fun night. You know, I've heard a lot of talk about J.J. McCarthy, who's been kind of the most interesting quarterback prospect during this process, just because of, I think a lot of people came in saying, okay, maybe late first, early second, and then out of nowhere it was, oh, he's going to be a top five, top 10 pick. And so I'm really intrigued to see where he lands. I learned earlier this week, his first sport he played, his first love, was hockey. And he says that playing hockey is a big reason why he's so tough as a quarterback, is because, you know, playing hockey, taking some of those hits. So, hey, that's a fun kind of side story for J.J. McCarthy.
I bet he is.
Yeah.
And to be coached and coached hard by Jim Harbaugh.
Sure, yeah.
And I'm sure somewhere tonight around a package around J.J. McCarthy, well, heck, you know, just with Jim Harbaugh drafting for the Chargers, now running the head coach and running the Chargers, Jim Harbaugh was a really good NFL quarterback.
Mm-hmm. He was, absolutely.
He was solid. Not going to the Hall of Fame. Right. I don't know if he was ever Pro Bowl. He probably wasn't. But you could live with him at quarterback.
Sure.
I tell you who he kind of was like. He was kind of like Jim McMahon. Mm-hmm. He just was never on a team that had the 85 Bear defense.
Well,
and Walter Payton behind you at running back.
Well, both those things do wonders for you when you're a quarterback. So those are both really nice. But no, I'm really excited for tonight for Detroit. Already on ESPN, they're showing a ton of people already out there.
Looks good.
It looks really good, and so I'm excited. Always have fun with the draft. So it's gonna be. And again, you know, we were talking earlier this week with Greg Arias, and I saw some Nashville accounts posting the pictures from when they had it in Nashville a couple years ago, and just that scene, every time I see it, even though I vividly remember watching it, every time I see a picture of the crowd that night, it blows me away. Every single
time.
It does. It's unbelievable.
Do you know where next year's draft is?
I don't know.
Titletown. Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Wow. I do remember them announcing
Green Bay.
Oh, that'll be fun.
I'm going to tie in the Packers with my big number today.
Okay. My big number is also
Packers and Detroit get tied in. Here are the 13s with the Chicago Bears.
Okay.
Anybody out there, stop me, except for Rick Meyer, if you've ever heard of many of these. Rodney Adams, Jack Duggar, Thurman Garrett, Ed Healy, Johnny Knox, Monty Merkel, Rick Myra, Byron Pringle, Frank Ramsey, 1945, not the one that was at Tulane, Rashad Ross, Tyler Scott, Bob Snyder, Joe Stadera, I don't know how to pronounce it, Jake Sweeney, George Trafton, Kevin White, good wide receiver from West Virginia, played in the Liberty Bowl for West Virginia against A&M, and Kendall Wright. That's your 13s in Bear history. It floors yours, Caleb Williams.
Yeah, no, certainly.
It's wide open.
Certainly don't have to compete for anybody when it comes to greatest 13. As long as
I can't think
up.
Of a great 13 with the Cubs or with the Bulls.
I can't either.
And I don't know any Blackhawks.
No. That'd be you have to do some research for that. Some extensive.
You don't have noticed you hadn't worn your Blackhawk.
Yeah,
jersey
I mean,
lately.
You know, it's the hard thing is, you know, it's getting warmer and those things, I mean,
they're busy. They're sweaters.
Hot. Exactly. And you get hot in them. So I've been, obviously my beloved Kraken, I wore that a couple times towards the end of their season. Toronto still gets broken out until they're eliminated or hoist the trophy.
What, down 2-1?
They're down 2-1, went down 2-1 last night. So yeah, but once Toronto's done, those sweaters will probably be hung up until next season.
Tell me why on the ESPN app, when you go to the NBA, like today's games,
sure.
NBA, it says East first round, game 3, Cleveland leads, series 2-0. East first round, game 3, New York leads, series 2-0. You go to the hockey, and it says East first round, game 3.
It doesn't say who leads.
Mm-mm.
Interesting. I don't know. That's weird.
Shows TV, shows records for the year, shows the betting line.
Interesting.
Doesn't say who leads.
Doesn't say who leads. Interesting.
And NHL's ESPN.
Sure, yeah.
Business partner.
Oh, of course. So that is interesting.
They just leave us suspended to wonder who's leading?
Yeah, well, that's – now, you're on to something. That is the tactic. If you want to know who's leading the series, you got to tune in and watch the games. I mean, that's – they're trying to get eyeballs to the television, Brett, you know?
Well, they've got NBA, too, though.
Well, but
they
NBA,
assume you know it.
Exactly. Yeah. And NBA right now, most all of those games are on TNT. So, I mean, you know, have at
it. That's right.
We don't want you over at TNT, but we want you tuned in to these hockey
Very
games
clever.
On ESPN. So, hey, maybe something to that.
What'd you think of the big man's announcement today that he's not visiting Memphis?
Yeah, I mean, it's recruiting. I saw.
Is it not ever or just not this week?
No, it's just postponed. That is the big clarification that a lot of people have been making, that it is just postponed. And I believe Parthi Bhadia from the Daily Memphian even said that it was Memphis that postponed it. It was not. Acquaintance who decided to postpone it. It was the University of Memphis. So hopefully there's that idea that you know, they'll still get a visit. But I know a lot of Louisville people are starting to do their victory laps because they feel like with that being postponed, that secures him to Louisville. And even earlier today, there was a crystal ball projection on 247 for Louisville and Jaden Quaintance. So I think it's Louisville. I've thought it's Louisville for a while.
What happened to the player development aspect?
Well, you know,
backdrop, mind change.
Exactly. Player development sounds very good, especially when you're
on Tuesday,
especially when you're talking to a reporter. It sounds great. But you know, when you start looking at numbers, and not saying that, you know, Memphis didn't have a great NIL deal ready for him, but yeah, I mean, Louisville, they're putting together a really solid team, and if I had to bet money, I would say Jaden Quaintance will be wearing a Louisville jersey next year.
Yeah, feels like it kind of moved that way.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, we'll see. Like I said, it's just postponed. So
that
knows?
Happens.
Yeah, and it happens. So it still could happen. And
that's Cruton.
Yeah, and I don't think Jaden Quaintance is in any sort of rush. Now, maybe things have changed and he ends up committing today or tomorrow. But I know in the story Jason Munns had yesterday that his father said that they still planned on visiting a couple other schools was kind of the idea. But who knows? Again, recruiting is just so fluid. It changes so fast, like we're seeing now. I mean, I think everybody in Memphis was in agreement that he was visiting on Friday. It was going to be a big weekend, yada, yada, yada. And just like that, today is completely turned.
It's that fickle.
Yeah, no, that's just recruiting. And so,
good and bad.
It's still going to be an interesting weekend for the Tigers. Villanova transfer TJ Bamba, another big man, is set to visit. I believe his visit starts today and wraps up tomorrow. So that's going to be a big time visit for them as well, because I think Bamba would be a really good addition, kind of a lengthy four, and could play the five. But so you still got some big men on campus this weekend. It just will not be the five star that everyone's been talking about.
Brian, like I said about the 15-year-old golfer from the weekend,
The
16. That's even young for you and Johnny now.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, no, 16 is extremely young.
Extremely young.
So, you know, who knows? He not coming on the visit, and I don't think we'll be here. But hey, anything can change. And I misspoke. TJ Bamba, a 3-4, can play the 3 or the 4. So I'm still looking for a true big man. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with Penny Hardaway.
He may not just be coming to Memphis for now. Could get him in 2 years.
Oh, yeah. No, certainly. He is going to be in college for 2 years. And
you're getting players that leave places, sure, play a year or two other places, mm-hmm, and return.
Sure. No, absolutely.
Ole Miss is getting it with Henry Parrish, yeah, in football at running back.
Absolutely. So it's the transfer portal has just made it so tough and weird. I mean, it's kind of, we thought for a long time that when a player transferred out, that was goodbye forever. And now, like you said, with Ole Miss, you're seeing it. Guys leaving and coming back. I know there's a lot of smoke out there of maybe Memphis and Musa Cisse coming back together.
Oklahoma State with him.
Exactly. He was on a visit to Oklahoma State earlier this week. So it's a very weird world in recruiting nowadays, and with the transfer portal, really anything goes. So I would not put anything past anybody. And we'll see what Penny Hardaway does, with still a lot of spots to fill. But like I said, TJ Bamba, the 6'5". Guard forward will be on campus, averaged 10 points last year for Villanova. So it would be a good addition if they can lock him up. Well, let me set up today's show before we get to top and not top story of the day. 3:30, Steve Macy, the Senior Director for Team Business and Event Operations for the Memphis Showboats. He'll join us, Showboats, back at home Sunday afternoon against the Michigan Panthers. So we'll talk a lot of Showboats and what Steve Macy and his crew have planned for this Sunday's game at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. 3:45, we'll talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs. Two interesting games in two very different ways last night, as the Heat pull the upset on the Celtics. The Thunder make it look easy against the Pelicans. So we'll talk about those games and the games tonight in the NBA playoffs. 4 o'clock, Keith Smith will join us from SpotTrack in the front office show to talk the NBA. Plenty of NBA playoff talk to get to with Keith at 4 o'clock. 4:30, we'll talk about the NFL draft, as we're only a couple of hours away from all of the action in Detroit. So we'll talk about all the latest news and notes for the NFL draft. 4:45, big number of the day. 5 o'clock, Greg Gaston, he'll join us to talk Tigers. So much to talk about with Greg about the Tigers. He was on hand doing interviews during the spring game last Saturday, so we'll have to talk about the spring game with him, what he learned, what he saw out there. Laird Veach, now the athletic director for Missouri, what Memphis will do with the AD opening, and also all of the offseason madness for Penny Hardaway and the Tigers. 5:30, we'll get to what's trending. At 5:45, we'll wrap up today's show like we always do with Taco Bell Crunch Time. Let me remind you, we're in our Family Leisure studios, where family and fun come together. Head out to Family Leisure for factory direct pricing on swimming pools, spas, and patio furniture. It's patio season. Come by Family Leisure and check out the new 2024 patio furniture sets. Pool season will be here before we know it. Buy now and get in line for your pool installation and get preseason pricing. Save $1,000 to $5,000 on all spas and swim spas. Also, special pricing on all in-stock saunas, theater seating, pool tables, and outdoor kitchens. But only at Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40.
Produced by Johnny Hill, we're Sports Time. We're with you until 6 o'clock. We want you to be a part of our show. You can text or call at 901-360-8255. That's the Sissy's Log Cabin text and call line. And all our guests will also appear on that guest line at 901-360-8255. Thank you so much to Sissy's Log Cabin. This hour of our show brought to you every day by Lexus of Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway and online at lexusofmemphis.com. Great offers on all 2024 models and always special leasing options. Drive in luxury and confidence, knowing that every new Lexus comes with complimentary first and second maintenance services. Call them at 901-334-9673, but stop by the one and only Lexus dealership in town at 2600 Ridgeway and put yourself in the driver's seat of the all-new 2024 flagship LS500. You'll be looking and you'll be driving in style. When you purchase a Lexus, you get top-of-the-line engineering and design, and that makes for the luxury driving experience. Online at lexusofmemphis.com. Experience amazing experience amazing at Lexus of Memphis.
Top story of the day.
Well, my top story of the day, it's got to be the latest news with Tiger basketball. Jaden Quaintance, his visit has been postponed, in the story over at the Daily Memphian about it, here's what it says. The source emphasized the decision was made by the Tigers, and as it stands currently, it is a postponement and not a cancellation altogether. So this was not Quaintance saying, you know what, I've made my decision, I do not need to visit Memphis anymore, I'm gonna, you know, go ahead and commit to Louisville, anything like that. Sounds like this was all about the Tigers. Not sure what went into that decision by the Tigers. I don't know if it's they're not interested in him anymore, maybe want somebody else instead of him and try to get that visit in first, or if it was just something happened and they just couldn't get him in this weekend. But either way, that visit has been postponed, and now a lot of people feel like Louisville will be the spot for the 16-year-old big man. But I mentioned it earlier, that does not mean there will be no visitors to campus this weekend. TJ Bamba, the guard from Villanova, 6'5", averaged 10 points a game last year, also shot about 37% from three. He'll be on campus this weekend. In the same story, it says that he's been confirmed that he's on a plane heading down here. I believe, from everything I've heard, his visit will start later this evening. It'll wrap up tomorrow afternoon. So the Tigers will be looking to add another guy that probably play a three role for the Tigers. Maybe if you go small, he could play the four. But another guard that the Tigers could add. Got to start thinking that at some point they'll bring in some big man, some four, some fives, because it looks like this roster so far is very guard heavy. If you add TJ Bamba, you know, he gives you a little bit as a forward, but he's definitely not the big man you are looking for. So definitely going to be an eventful weekend for the Tigers, and we'll see if we get any more news on the status of Quaintance or any other guys that are planning to take a visit here with Penny Hardaway.
My top story, NFL draft round one tonight, and it will be ratings gold with a lot of hugs, a lot of tears, a lot of very expensive suits, and the culmination of a lot of hard work. A quarterback-driven sport, so of course the draft will be quarterback-driven tonight. Caleb Williams can be the savior for the Bears. Outside of the 85 Bears, the Bears hadn't done that much in the Super Bowl era, and that's kind of now how we look at the sport. I hate sometimes when we forget just the NFL championship days, but we do. It's the Super Bowl era, and that dates back a long time, and except for 85, that's all the Bears have really ever done was that year. So they want a savior, and they want somebody to sell a lot of tickets and skyboxes and suites and signage in the new $5 billion stadium.
Yep.
Not top story of the day.
Well, my not top story of the day, it's got to be the NFL draft tonight. We know who's going number one, but then after that, it's a lot of questions. We think that Jaden Daniels will be the second quarterback taken off the board and the second player taken off the board. But, you know, you never know. With all of the different rumors and reports and things you've heard really since the combine about these quarterbacks, anything could really go. And then what happens with J.J. McCarthy? There's still a lot of people that think he will be a top five pick, and now some smoke around teams trying to trade into the top five in order to get him. And then you've got the receivers, a very interesting group of receivers. And I was reading something today in The Athletic. It said veteran NFL receivers coach said that Malik Nabers is the number one receiver on his list, and he thinks that's the same on a lot of other people's lists. Another NFL coach said, quote, it's Nabers and then there's a gap. He's the best wide receiver in the draft in a couple of years, maybe more. Some people think he could be the third receiver taken off the board tonight. So definitely looking at those skill positions. It's going to be eventful, but obviously I know for my Cowboys, I think they're going to take an offensive lineman, and we've said it a lot. Those aren't the flashy hires, but a lot of times those are what kind of gets you to that next step when you're trying to make playoff pushes. So it's going to be a really interesting night to see what happens in Detroit.
For Daniels and Nabers, I'm just glad I don't have to see them when I go to Baton Rouge this fall.
Yes, yes.
I saw enough of them.
Yes.
And that was who Daniels was looking for on that last play of the game
Absolutely.
Last year against Ole Miss. My not top story, Well, so much for sparring partners and 14.5 point favorite for Boston last night. I said they needed to be tested before they got to the NBA Finals against the West. Well, they got a test. They got one right in the kazoo last night. And Miami really led most of the night. It was their game all night. 23 made threes, and Tyler Hero with 24 points in Miami held Boston to only 12 made threes. Miami is that franchise I want the Grizzlies to be in 25 years from now. And you're approaching year 50 of the Memphis Grizzlies. Yeah. Model the Miami way. Look, everybody talks Lakers and Celtics, maybe even San Antonio. That's fantasy land. Just so few can do that. Be the Heat. Have that Heat culture. Have Eric Spoelstra. Have a front office figure like Pat Riley. Have always, you know, those fines in the draft, whether it's undrafted free agent or direct in the draft, they always have the Heat culture.
Oh, yeah. No, they absolutely do, and that was a fun performance from the Heat last night.
And without Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, no, it's a really good point. Jimmy Butler, who's been the heart and soul of that team, but they had Tyler Hero, who was making it rain last night. That'll do it for top and not top story of the day. Let's go ahead and get to a break. When we come back, we're talking Showboats with Steve Macy.
You already know you can listen to Sports 56 anywhere with the Sports 56 app or at sports56whbq.com. But you can also watch us daily with live video of all of our shows on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you in our Family Leisure Studios. And joining us now on our Sissy's Log Cabin guest line, Steve Macy, the Senior Director for Team Business and Event Operations for the Memphis Showboats, joins us now. Steve, thanks so much for joining us. Showboats, they're back in action at home this weekend, hosting the Michigan Panthers. And you look up, Showboats sitting at 1-3 on the season, but I would argue that they've been fairly competitive in most of those games. We've talked a lot about that game against San Antonio at home, where they led most of the game, controlled most of the game, and then in the last minute, you have the fourth down conversion. They drive down and win the game. Birmingham was really the game that they weren't super competitive, but I thought last week, even against St. Louis, a really good team, I thought for most of the game, fought really hard until kind of the end where they let it slip away. What have you thought about these recent performances from the Showboats?
Well, I'm thrilled to be back home. It's been a tough, you know, start four. You only have one home game in your first four games. That's a tough way to start a 10-game season. So now we have a nice little stretch. We have a couple games in a row at home, but I think the team's playing great. I think they're tired, it looks like. I think the travel's gotten to them a little bit, and not having the home crowd has definitely been hard. Birmingham was a tough game. They're really good. I mean, Birmingham is very, very good. I'm looking forward to having them at home in our place on May 4th and having a chance at getting back at them a little bit. That was just a tough game for us. But certainly, you know, the other game in St. Louis this past weekend was a close game all throughout. Right at the end, they got a couple late scores. But it's, you know, the Showboats have what I'd like to think is a really good chance of making a run here. They've got a little bit of offensive line issues that I think have been worked out here in the last couple weeks, especially this week in practice, that are allowing the ball to be run a little bit more, take a little pressure off quarterback Case Cookus. And right now that's going to be a real key to the team's success on the offensive side.
And Steve, his availability, will he be able to go Sunday? Cookus?
Yeah, I think Case is ready to roll. Everything I've been told is that I'm not in the medical tent, but everything I've been told is he's ready to roll and expecting to see him play. He's a big part of this team. He's the captain, you know, of the offense, and I think he's the captain of the team. And so where he goes, the team goes, and I think that he's an important leader. But yeah, I think we saw a lot of Troy Williams in the last game, and he looked good. You know, he brings a different facet to the game. He's very fast, explosive runner, can get out and move a little bit and throw on the run. And so you know, I like some of the things that we saw from him in the fourth quarter last week for sure.
And this week we'll have a real USFL feel, not just the divisions. Now in the UFL, there's the XFL division and the USFL division that the Showboats play in. But it will be a trip down memory lane, and I know you're prepared for that on Sunday against Michigan. And I think that was a champion of the USFL 1 year, but against Michigan and a really special day. Tell our listeners what you have planned and how they can enjoy it on Sunday afternoon at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium.
I could not be more excited about what we're doing this Sunday, and that we're going to honor head coach Pepper Rogers and the defensive great Reggie White. Unfortunately, neither one of them is still with us. Both of them are gone way too early in their lives, but they are the epitome of the Showboats franchise. I think anybody that was associated with the Showboats in the 1980s knows those names through and through. And so we're going to have a special halftime presentation. We dipped back into the past, and Dave Boatwillotion is the voiceover on that video tribute that we're doing at halftime. We've got something, you know, Steve Earhart helped us out with a little bit with some of the imagery. And so I'm really excited about what we're able to do. And to finally tie the past to the present. And I think that's one thing for the community to remember is, you know, the Memphis franchise was in many ways the cornerstone of the original USFL. That our fan base was the strongest fan base. Our fan base was the most vocal. It led the league in attendance. Memphis was what everybody else looked at and said, we want to be that. In the current spring league that Memphis is part of, St. Louis is that team. St. Mm-hmm. Louis is the one that everybody looks at and says, we want to be that. And I still believe that the Memphis crowd, the Memphis fans, when they get into something, they can't be beat. And I think a lot of times we don't know it. We don't know how influential our fan base is in games. We don't know that when the Grizzlies are playing well and the Tigers are playing well, that FedEx Forum is almost impossible for visitors to play in. I don't think our fans realize how good they are in Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium with a good crowd, how impactful they are. And I think we can get there. I know we can. It's just a matter of convincing the community that, hey, this is your professional football team. They want to have a long-term relationship with you. You know, we've seen FedEx's, you know, interest in this and how much they put into the Showboats and deliver tickets to all of their staff. I still really, really believe that by tying the past into the present, we're kind of closing that gap of this is your professional football team, it's the Memphis Showboats.
I'm so excited about it, Steve, and I remember it so very fondly. It was a fun time, and Reggie White, what he did on defense, well, he went on to, you know, defensive stardom in the USFL and the NFL. But Pepper Rogers on offense, he was a real innovator. Very creative, and Coach Steve Spurrier gives a lot of credit to his success to being on a Pepper Rogers staff, I think at Georgia Tech, right after Steve Spurrier retired from his playing days, but he gives a lot of credit to Pepper Rogers, and it was colorful, it was innovative, and the fans really responded to it, and I hope they do Sunday afternoon. The league itself, I think the difference in play when I watch this year to last year is night and day. It's so much better this year, and that's part of the consolidation of the two leagues. But I do like the rules, and especially how big the return game is in this league. You almost have to return when you're the receiving team. You got to set up shop on the other side of the 50, or you're getting buried.
Yeah, it's. I love our kickoff rule. One, if you kick it out of bounds, the other team gets the ball at the 50. So they are encouraging you to make returns all day long, and so you kick off from the 20, and the receiving team's got to go make some yardage. If you only get to your own 25 or 30, you've had an awful return, and I think that makes the game go a little bit faster because you're not constantly looking at teams kicking off and sitting on the 10-yard line, you know, after a short penalty from only getting to the 20. I think it puts a lot of pressure on the defense because now the kicker's almost in kicking range. And my gosh, the kickers in this league are so darn good. 60-yarders and 57-yarders seem to be just a common
automatic
theme. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy how accurate these guys have been and from long range. But, you know, I think I like that kickoff rule. I think it does a lot for the game. I think it does a lot for the offenses and gets the crowd into it, gets people going. I think that's, you know, we have had very few injuries on kickoffs as well. The players are closer together. They're not getting a big, long 30-yard run before they smash into somebody. It's a much shorter time until they interact with another player from the visiting team. And I think from a safety standpoint, you know, it's much better. And from a fan engagement standpoint, I think it's much better.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Steve Macy, the Senior Director of Team Business and Event Operations for the Memphis Showboats. I was talking to a buddy earlier this week, and we were talking about the Showboats, and I told him that this season's start has kind of reminded me a lot of last season's start. 1-3 this year, 1-3 start last year as well. And last year you saw at the beginning, defense kind of struggled, and then it was like that. It completely flipped. This year at times, defense has struggled as well, but you still have Carnell Lake as the defensive coordinator. We saw what he did with that group last year. How do you see this year with this group, kind of a lot of new players on that defense, getting more and more comfortable with this staff? How do you see that defense coming along, and do you think we could see that switch being flipped like we saw last year?
I think the defense has been okay. I mean, I really do think that it has not been kind of the defense's issue. We've been really close in every game at halftime, sure, either leading big or been within a couple points at halftime. And I think what's happened is the offense has struggled in the second half, mm-hmm, of some of our games, and I think the defense has gotten worn down. So I look at this more of a team thing and not just an individual unit, you know, whether it was the offense or the defense. And I think everybody's a little bit frustrated that we haven't had more points scored in the second half and haven't been able to kind of get those victories as we thought. And, you know, maybe there's been some, you know, it's been psychologically difficult after that close loss to San Antonio,
yeah,
when you're up a couple scores with 48 seconds left and the 4th-and-12 rule kind of bites you in the backside. But other than that, these guys are good, like you said. You know, Stats, you talked about how much better the play is, and I think it's because the players are better. Mm. And so, you're seeing games across the league that are very, very close. They're extremely competitive. And I think that's just, you know, you're going to win some of those close ones. You're going to lose some of those close ones. And thus far, we've not won, but one of them. And so, but, you know, going forward, we got two games at home. I really, really like the matchup against Michigan this weekend. And we play Sunday at 2:00. We've got $10 tickets. We're going to have the big tribute to Reggie and Pepper, and I think when our fan base responds, it's a huge lift for that team, both on the offensive side and the defensive side.
Tell our listeners how they can get those tickets.
So tickets are available at the UFL, that stands for United Football League, theufl.com. They're just $10. You can also get your parking up front for $10 through the Park Mobile app. You can clickable from there. It's a great time. It's, you know, because we're doing the tribute to Reggie and Pepper, we're going to stick a little with the 80s. You're going to hear a lot of 80s music in the stadium, which I'm excited about. And I think it'll make it for a really fun, festive atmosphere. You know, the DJ knows we want to have things played that gets people moving and having fun and enjoying themselves. And so it's going to be a really fun time on Sunday at the stadium.
And you've got a great forecast for Sunday afternoon. Not an 11:00 game, but Sunday afternoon. Steve, do you think the league understands that maybe if they were practicing in the community and maybe doing a few more things around town, that might move the needle a little more? And next year, do you think they want to get everything kind of camped in the cities?
Well, I think everybody is chomping at the bit to have the roots being in the market, you know, in all 8 markets, not just Memphis, but I think we are a real town of personality, and we're a real town of getting to know you and having some personal relationships. And I think that's really important in Memphis. But I think it's true across the league. And, you know, they're looking at things to say, we need to build this for, yes, we need success right now. We need to have some good things happen at the box office. We need to have butts in seats and fans in the stands. But we also have to grow this in a way that's sustainable for the long term, and we've seen spring leagues come and go, And that's because I think they built him on a paper house. Mm. And right now, you know, the league and the investors have looked at this and said, we need to be efficient. We need to save as much money as possible on stuff like travel and practice areas and make it as efficient as humanly possible. With all that said, everybody wants the sailboats in town. You know, I want the sailboats here. I think it's a massive difference to have your head coach and your players and your assistant coaches and your GM being in the city and being seen at lunchtime and dinner time and going to events and reading to kids in school as often as you can. I mean, the stuff that everybody wants us to do, we absolutely want to do. And, you know, the sooner we get rolling from a revenue standpoint, meaning we have people in the stands and really support it, the sooner that's going to be able to happen. And, you know, I still hope it's next year, but it, you know, we've got to get our stuff in gear from a city and a fan base. And that's not a challenge. It's just we've been struggling with getting tickets sold. So we've got to continue to push that and show the league that, you know, this is a city that wants and loves its football, and we want to make spring football work here, not just anywhere. We want it to work here in Memphis.
Yeah, well, it should be a fun weekend. Like you said, I really love this matchup for them against Michigan. It should be a great forecast for a great day of football. As always, Steve, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll do it again next week.
Hey, thanks, guys, and go Boat.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you so much. Steve Macy with us every week, and good luck to the Showboats this week, and that will be fun down memory lane. That was great times. Your dad's told you about those times, hasn't he?
Plenty of times.
They're true, and it was. That was fun spring football. It was high-level football, and this is high-level football, and it's good football, and hope Sunday afternoon the crowd responds. Kind of a tough break to have an 11 o'clocker out of the gate and then three roadies.
Yeah.
And in that time, you come back one up, three down, so maybe Sunday afternoon can get things on in good shape for the Showboat. Steve mentioned a very 80s theme. Well, it was 1981 when another great thing happened in our town, and that's the commissary, the Germantown commissary, Walker Taylor and his team. He was out at USFL days of yore. We've talked about it a lot of times. He was among the crowd, and it was fun, and you can have fun at either location at the commissary, the new Collierville commissary at Houston Levy and Poplar, or the original in Germantown, again, started in 1981. Memphis-style barbecue and ribs done the slow-cooked Memphis way, and at the Collierville commissary, it's perfect for a big group together there and enjoy. I know people already thinking about plans for Mother's Day. Either location would be great for Mother's Day for you to celebrate Mom. If you're craving an easier way to order, text commissary to 33733. Start with the appetizers. They're big enough for entrees, but start with appetizers and go slow, like the barbecue nachos. That's a hit from the 80s, invented, created by Walker Taylor and his team at the Germantown Commissary back in the 80s. The cheese plate, the tamales, the smoked chicken wings, then dig into the ribs, the shoulder, chopped or pulled on a plate, on a sandwich, all the sides, bean slaw, deviled eggs, bread, and you can order it by the pound or a six-pack or an eight-pack or a 12-pack. And the desserts, you can get those to go like you can get everything else to go. If you want to get it to go to have Mother's Day back at your house, you can do that, like the lemon icebox pie, the strawberry cake, the banana pudding. Here's the number, 901-754-5540, or go online at commissarybbq.com in Collierville and Germantown, the party areas, the orders to go, catering, tailgating, anytime, any season. Make the stop at the commissary, 901-754-5540, or go to commissarybbq.com.
Let's go ahead and grab a break. When we come back, we'll talk about what happened last night in the NBA playoffs. A couple of games we've got tonight. We'll do that next on Sports Time.
Start your day with Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10, right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats-Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus. Mm-hmm.
It was a really fun night of NBA basketball last night. It started off with Celtics and Heat, and we got what I don't think many people expected we'd get, an unbelievable shooting performance from the Miami Heat, and they get a big-time win in Boston over the Celtics. You mentioned it earlier, Brett, but it did not seem like the Heat could miss. 23 for 43 from three. That's 53.5%. Tyler Hero led the way with 6 3-pointers made, 24 points for him. Haywood Highsmith gave them a good spark off the bench. And defensively, you know, Boston could not get a lot of great looks. So it was a really, really impressive game from the Heat.
And the Boston plan of just allowing the 3-pointers, yeah, and they kept making, it was almost like the Heat was the 14.5-point favorite.
Yeah,
I wonder what the money line was to take Miami last night.
Man.
And I don't think many were jumping at it. So is this the one? We'll ask Keith Smith this when he joins us in about 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. We'll ask him this. Is this the one that wakes Boston up? And we look up in 2 months, and it's a good thing. But they had last year to wake them up.
Sure, yeah, and so, you know, we'll see. But, you know, I think it might just be more about the Heat and this kind of Heat culture, and one thing you know about the Heat is they're not going to ever lay down. And, I mean, when's the last time the Heat have been swept, you know? And you know, they usually don't get swept. They usually give up a really good fight, and we know how good of a coach Eric Spoelstra is and how he is in terms of kind of game preparation and making adjustments, and he certainly showed that Heat culture last night against the Celtics.
And that second game was all Oklahoma City. No surprise there. And no surprise Oklahoma City is going to win this series. Just need two more out of the potential next four. They probably get one in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And New Orleans just never advances very, very far. And both teams star laden with young stars, but Oklahoma City just has more.
Sure, yeah. I mean, what Oklahoma has done over these last couple of years of stocking up draft picks, you know, especially first-round draft picks, and then being able to have those play out as either picks or trades, it was impressive. You know, I was super shocked in how they won, how easy they made it look last night against the Pelicans. But, yeah, they were rolling. We'll see what happens as that series moves to New Orleans. We got a handful of games tonight. I'm sure it'll be less people watching those games tonight than the past couple of nights of NBA playoffs with the NFL draft going on.
I'll have the back button go.
Sure, well, absolutely. But there certainly won't be as many people locked into it like they have been. But some really good games tonight that I'm really interested in. But let's go ahead and get to a break. Wrap up this first hour. When we come back, we're sticking with this same topic of the NBA playoffs. Keith Smith, he joins Talk NBA next.